Good morning, church family. How are we doing today? Good deal. If you're in the foyer or out in the lobbies, if you would, go ahead and make your way into the sanctuary. This morning, we get to start our service with baptism, which is something we love to celebrate. Real quick, I just want to offer a little explanation. If you're not familiar with water baptism or if you haven't seen this before, the salvation event is not taking place right now. What is happening is an outward expression of an inward reality. There's a profession saying, all of my eggs are in the basket of Jesus. I believe in him. I rely on him. He has redeemed me. And so I want to be clear that as we participate in water baptism, it is symbolically going down as Jesus went into the earth and rising again new with him. And we are professing our faith in him through obedience to one of the ordinances the Lord left with us. Now, this is a very special morning because we have Pastor Chris Weeks here with us today, and he is baptizing Caden Toth this morning.
And I couldn't go without saying thank you to Pastor Jason, probably Nick, and probably Steve for setting this up and taking it down. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate that. I'm excited about today because anytime someone says, I want to get baptized, and they ask me to do it, it's a privilege and honor. Today, it's a privilege and honor again because Caden asked me a few months ago, and I was like, absolutely. And just to give you a little backstory, I've known Caden forever. When I came to church, he was here, right here at Christ Chapel, and I watched him grow and become the man he is today. And it's a privilege to have someone like this that makes such an impact in a youth group. See, what you don't understand is Caden was there every walk, every time we had the doors open. He was a leader. He led. In fact, he made a huge impact on two guys that are standing behind me right now, including my own son. So you cannot put a price tag on that type of leadership. So I'm honored today. So what I have to do is I have to ask you, do you believe Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords?
Yes.
Have you asked him into your heart?
Yes.
All right. Well, based on that profession of faith, Caden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! All right. I love you, man.
I love you. Praise the Lord. And if you would, honor our children that are here with us today. They came in to participate and view the water baptism. Thank you, Pastor Steve, and all you do sowing into our children. And let's go ahead and stand and get ready to worship the Lord this morning.
Good morning. If you're able, let's stand up and worship together this morning. Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this backbone. I tried with all my
cannot deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. No, you ain't welcome here no more. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back.
When I was just practicing, I thank God around the house, all of a sudden that song just started spilling out of my heart, and I started crying, and I was like, Lord, that just touched me so much. I remember being a little girl and singing that in the chapel services at school. How many of y'all sang that song when you were little? And I remember when I was a little girl just singing that to the Lord with all of my heart, because I knew I had no chance of saving myself. I knew I had all these great needs in my life and no way to fill them. but God. And I was reading in Psalm 107, and this is a really long chapter, so I'm going to skip around some. But if you identify with any of these things, you can raise your hand or just say amen, or just tell the Lord quietly in your heart, praise you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Some wandered in deserts and wastelands, finding no way to the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He led them by the straight way to the city where they could settle. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. He sent out his word and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. They reeled and they staggered like drunkards. They were all at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the seas were hushed. They were glad when it was calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. And so I was just thinking about the worship set this week, and I was like, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for your name, the power of your name, your wonderful deeds. I know each one of you in here have a story of what the Lord's done in your life. And I just want to just proclaim the good name of the Lord for us today.
That can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out the grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves and is worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. Every time I call you. alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of. I call you Jesus.
Last generation has swapped out the power of God for trickery and manipulation, and some man will blow on you or wave his hand, and through supernatural but not divine power, he imitates. Let me tell you about God's power. It is limitless. Hell trembles at the weak believer that just says Jesus. Demons tremble and shake. All authority is his in heaven and in earth. Can't tell you how many times I've come to church, and I know there are people here that you're in a situation, you go, has heaven got enough grace for me? And of course, God, who is rich and abundant in mercy and grace, but for your situation, does God really have absolute control, power, authority, and then some? That's why we fear nothing and no one, because our God, who runs everything, upholds all ecosystems, all things in the earth by one spoken word of his power thousands of years ago, is the Lord of your life. That's why he tells you, don't be afraid. Fear not, because I am with you. David said, I'm not going to fear any evil because thou art with me. And I don't know what your situation might be today, but if you've lived with the Lord longer than 2 months, you'll hit something that you'll say, this is beyond me. And you'll start to see yourself clearly as you shrink and see God clearly as he rises up. And he looks at you and says, may I? Absolutely. And he steps out and makes old things new, dead things alive. Mountains are melted at his presence and by his word. Enemies are scattered. Red seas are opened. I don't know what your difficulty is, but I know it is not difficult to God. And if you have faith in God, anything is possible to him that believes. Oh, give him room. Take your hands off the wheel. Don't just give him the keys. Give him the title. And say, I'm looking to you, Lord. My eyes are on you. And I'm going to finish with this one verse. Blessed are those that trust in the Lord. They shall not be ashamed or embarrassed. God ain't going to fail you. He paid too much for you to fail you. So, Lord, we honor you as the author and finisher of our faith. Great God that you are. For that person, Lord, that is bowed over and can't even see, it's like everything is dark and all the clouds are in. I pray, oh God, that you would flex in their life, that you would rule and super rule and show your strength and glory. The devil doesn't have the last say. you have the last say. And Lord, I say it often in this house. In heaven, there's no appellate court. What you say goes. Speak over us as your people, O Lord. Draw us close to you in this day. And let Jesus be glorified in his church. Great things you have done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord a shout of praise this morning? Hey, would you just do a quick greeting around your area? We've got baby dedications to do in just a moment. Those families, if you'll start to get ready, we'll call you up in just a moment. I know y'all would, I would get 25 emails if I didn't do this and let him give us a quick update on his pastoring at Three Life Church. Isn't that right? All right, Chris, tell us.
All right, now I could get up here and preach. You hand a pastor a mic, you know. Let me first of all say one, thank you, church, for loving me. What would I be without this foundation? Especially with pastor and first lady here. And I know you don't like being called first lady, but I do it anyway. But I am so excited about what God is doing. Let me first of all say that God is good all the time. No matter what people say, no matter what your feelings tell you, God is good. And it's a testament with me going to this church. I know that we measure by numbers, so maybe I should tell you guys some of those.
Oh, you got to tell them, because I had church in my car. I said, it's not just numbers.
All right.
But tell them when you got there and where you're at now.
All right, so when I got there, we were running 80 people in the sanctuary, which is already good numbers, and a couple of kids, you know, like I think they said 7 kids in the nursery. I'm not going to tell you Easter, because Easter is like Super Bowl Sunday. So what about the Sunday before? You want me to tell you that one?
Yeah.
I had 254 people in service.
Praise
with
the Lord.
Like 45 kids in the nursery. And then I will throw in Super Bowl Sunday. We had 315 in service with 86 kids in the youth.
Thank
so God is good. God's good. I couldn't do it without him. And I couldn't do it without the leadership that I've been brought up under. I believe you God put me here on purpose to do what I'm doing now.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for your leadership, where would I be? So I thank the
We're
Lord every day.
You. Our son in the Lord, Chris Weeks.
So, hey guys, my name is Kelly Wood. On behalf of John, my husband, and the rest of our staff, I want to say good morning and welcome. And I hope that if you're a visitor here today, which I know we always have a lot on baptism and baby dedication Sundays, I hope that you felt as warmly greeted when you walked in the doors as you do in your own local bodies, because we are all the body of Christ, and we celebrate God's goodness and every expression that he has, and we celebrate Pastor Chris, and we're just so glad that you guys are here with us today. So if you don't have a church home, we'd love to get to know you better. We do have a greeting table out in the foyer if you'd stop by there if we happen to miss you on your way in. But please stop by there. We'd love to get to know you and see how we can serve you, and just would love to connect with you either way. So guys, if our if we are about to have baby dedication, if we'll have our families who are dedicating their little ones today come up to the stage.
I also wanted to say hey, and so glad to have Sarah and all their babies with us today.
Elisha is thrilled that Landon is here.
Yes. All right, those that are dedicating babies and the families, if the families that came with them, if you want to come close and get pictures or want to be on the stage, this is your call. You come. Church family, would y'all bless them as they come?
And while you're coming up here, somebody designate a spokesperson for the family. All right. It may take me a second to sort through these and get these to you, but we do have something, a small gift and a small New Testament for you just to commemorate this day. So if you will each choose a family spokesperson and introduce your family and introduce this to your sweet little ones that we're dedicating to the Lord today. And we'll start with you, Stephen.
Sure. Hey, I'm Stephen Finney, and this is my wife, Shannon, and our almost 3-year-old Sophia, who's looking behind. And then this is Scarlett. So.
Hey, I'm Nicholas Gilchrist, and this is my wife, Janaea, and this is our first daughter, Raina Noel.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Jesse Little. This is my wife, Carly, and this is our little blessing, Miss Andy, right here.
Good morning. I'm Stephen Payne. This is my wife, Sarah, and this is our 3-year-old daughter, McKinley.
Will you grab that mic too for that? I want to say a quick word to the grandparents and those that are influential in this life. Days like this, you look over to your spouse, you go, "We did good, man. We did good." And you guys, it is a joy for us to dedicate your children this morning. But I just want to remind you, I know you know this. There is no magic in baby dedication. What it is a recording in the court of heaven where you are holding the most precious, irreplaceable thing in your life. And you're saying, "Unto you, we trust the care of my little boy, my little girl, unto you, O Lord. And heaven records that, hell watches, and nothing he can do about it, because the Bible says that whatever things we commit to the Lord, he's going to keep unto that day. And so I would like to pray over you, but at the same time, it's special when a pastor gets to dedicate his child, and I'm going to let Nick pray over his baby, because that's not right that I would do that instead. So I also want to tell you, this lady here, for those that don't know, Miss Shannon, was there on the first Sunday of Christ Chapel, sliding around in the back of my 85 Chevy Cheyenne truck, and has been here ever since. She is the longest reigning member of our church. So y'all bless. So Kelly, will you, did they tell the names? They said the names are right. Okay. Guys, are you ready? In this holy moment, Lord, we lift these, our children, to you. In a world that's growing ever dark, we've never needed heaven's light more than we do today. Protect them, O God. Send warring angels to surround them and to guard their steps and keep people out of their lives and bring people into their lives. Let them know the Lord that we know. Let them come to know him on their own, by themselves. And we commit today, Lord, to do all that we can to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, as a church, we commit to create an environment and keep an environment conducive to their spiritual well-being. In the mighty name of Jesus, we commit them today. Amen. Yep. And Nick, you pray over your baby.
Absolutely. Father God, thank you so much for this arrow that's been added to me and Janaea's quiver. Lord, you have entrusted us to shepherd your people. And Lord, this little lamb that has been entrusted to us to shepherd for the next 18 years, Lord God, I just pray that you bless her, as well as bless all of these children on the stage this morning. Lord, I pray that you shine your face upon them, that they see your countenance, that they see your glory, Lord. I pray that Raina, just like Pastor John said, she grows up to not just know about you because of me and her mom's faith, but Lord God, that she grows up to know about you because of her faith in you.
Yes, God.
That she grows in stature, not just as she physically develops, Lord, but as she develops spiritually and mentally as well. Lord God, we are so abundantly blessed to have her a part of our family. Our home will never be the same without her. We love her so much, and we're so grateful for it. And we love you so much, Lord, and we're so grateful for you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
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 And guys, we are on record with you that these children are formally dedicated to God for his protection and provision, and we're proud of you as parents. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap if you don't quit. And you'll hear your children worship and say that they serve that same God that their mom and daddy serve as well. God bless you today. Y'all bless them as they see you. Oh, wait a minute, one picture. Can we get one picture, all of you together? They tell me what to do. I just work here. I don't, you know. Thank you, Carla. No, you keep us documented. You keep us on target. You proud today, Granddaddy? He ain't even listening to you. Look at it. You proud today, Granddaddy? Yes, sir. I thought you might be. I thought you might be.
Guys, please excuse us. I think people will be moving a table on the stage in a second. But in just a minute, just to let you know, a little bit of time, or we've got an announcement video for you. Let me just say that, if you guys will go ahead and play it.
Good morning. We're sending a missions building team to Mount Dora, Florida, the week of April 20th. If you're interested, call the front office. Join us for cake auction on April the 26th. Students, you can sign up on the Christ Chapel app. And if you're a baker, we need your cakes. Please sign up in the front lobby. Also on April the 26th is Baptism Sunday. If you or someone you know is interested in following the Lord in water baptism, sign up on the Christ Chapel app. Stay connected with us at ChristChapelMacon.com, Facebook or Instagram at ChristChapelMacon.
right, guys, we are about to enter into our time of giving our tithes and offerings. And we've got our baskets here up at the front of the stage. We've also got our Kingdom Builders boxes if you want to give a special offering to that. But while the music plays, I just want to encourage you, take this time with your family to pray over your giving. We give, you know, sometimes at great cost, and it's an act of worship to do that unto the Lord. So commit your giving to the Lord, and then we've got the baskets up here, and then we'll start with our message.
The song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers.
Church family, thank you so much for your giving. It's by those gifts that we are able to fulfill our commission to win the lost, disciple the found, mend the broken, and send the whole. Also, if you notice on the back of your chairs, there's a little QR code icon there. You can tap your phone. It'll take you right to the webpage for any information. You can download sermons, you can give online. It's all there if you don't have a link to our page. Church family, by great demand, we are going to get to enjoy today my wife Kelly and Amy as they come and share about their trip to Israel. It's not a scenic testimony. They want to talk about what they saw the Lord do, what the Lord did in them. They arrived in Israel the day before the fighting began, and spent almost a little over a week in the basement of a hotel and in bunkers. And they're going to share the things that God did for them. Would you bless them as they come this morning?
Well, good morning. So I was telling some of the ladies, I can talk to ladies, I'm great with kids, but adults scare me just a little bit. They judge just a little bit more harshly than the kids do, but it's an honor that we get to be here and share with you this morning. Want to kind of tell you how we started on this journey when, I don't know, back in like September, October of last year, I got a phone call and said, hey, we are taking a group of female pastors. It's the group, this is the first time in the history of this organization that we are taking a group of this size to Israel. And I was like, okay, great. You know, and they're like, no, we'd love for you to come. And I was like, great. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that's like $5,000. Like, that's not even an option. But thank you so much for the invitation. And they kept going like, well, we kind of like need to know like now. And I said, well, if you can get me the information, tell me how much it is, all of that. And they said, no, 100% of the costs are covered. And I was like, count me in. They're like, and you get to bring someone. And I was like, Kelly. So literally I get off the phone with them and I call Kelly. I hadn't even called Steve yet. I called Kelly and I'm like, Kelly, you have to go with me. Like, it's not even an option. So she's like, well, and I'll let her tell that. Well, you got this and this. So what I did, and I love Kelly, but I went to Pastor John and I was like, Pastor John, so there's this opportunity for Kelly. And he was like, she's going. She's absolutely going. So that's what kind of led us to that. To go a little bit further and fast forward, we got an email probably a couple days before, maybe like on a Thursday, and we were supposed to leave that Monday. We got we are fully aware of what is going on in the Middle East. We want to be a good steward of that. We want to make sure you are safe. And secretly, in my heart, I was good. I was still good. The thought of war just did not become a reality in my mind. So what I did is I talked to Steve and I said, I just need you to pray, as we pray individually. I need you to pray and just ask the Lord, if you even have a yellow flag, the smallest thing, I need for you to let me know so I can just choose another time to go. So Kelly and I kind of talked about it. We did the same thing, Pastor John. And so whenever they sent the email, hey, we are moving forward. And I went to Steve and I said, Steve, what is it? Do you have any flags? And he said, not one. And I said, okay, I'm going. So I called Kelly and I'm like, Kelly, what are you going to do? And she's like, no, I'm supposed to go as well. So we knew from the beginning that this trip was going to be a different type of a trip. We just didn't know what that meant.
Yes. So as Amy kind of hinted at, my reaction was a little bit different about the Israel trip because, so I remember her calling me and she was so excited. So first of all, I think anybody who knows Amy and knows her well, like when she says, hey, let's go do something, we're usually like, yay, let's go do it. That is awesome. 'Cause she is so fun to be with. And she's really, truly one of my dearest friends. So when she asked me, I was like, okay, well, I will think about it, you know, like, you know, let's think about it. So she knew well enough to talk to John, that he would encourage me as well. So fast forward a few minutes. So this is my stalling, you know, on the trip, like, okay, well, I'll pray about it, you know, and then John calls me a little bit later. And he asked me, he goes, haven't you always wanted to go? It's like a dream trip. And I was like, no, I have not always wanted to go. Like, I know that sounds so terrible, but I have not always wanted to go. I've really been raised the majority of my life with hearing about, you know, terrible things that happen in Israel to the people of Israel. And so it didn't seem like, yes, the idea of a place that will exist later and will continue to exist, you know, was fascinating to me, but trying to go there was not exactly something that I was very much looking forward to. But here is the deal. I sensed in this that the Lord wanted to do something in my heart, and so I cried and prayed about it a lot, and I told the Lord I felt him inviting me to come, you know, and not necessarily knowing what the outcome was going to be. A lot of things in my life are the Lord asking me, would you be willing? Would you be willing to do this? And so I felt him asking me to come, and I did not want to be away from the kids that long, you know, mama, let's just be real honest, like husbands can oftentimes take care of themselves, but the mama heart wants to watch her babies. But I felt him ask me to come, and not knowing what that meant, I remember the greatest thing as a mom for me is that I want my children to follow after Jesus wholeheartedly. And they will oftentimes not see that unless it's magnified in your life. And so I felt like this is something the Lord wanted to do and change in me, because a lot of times, even if we're in church all the time, we get a little bit lost. We kind of forget our place, you know, to be a daughter first, you know, and foremost over everything. And so I felt that very much, him inviting me to come. And so I told the Lord, if this is what it takes, that's what I'll do. And so we said yes, and then we proceeded not to be able to talk about Israel in my family for months, because John would sit there and he'd go like, okay, are you ready to talk about the trip? And I'm like, no, I'm not ready to talk about the trip. I knew I'd get spooked. I know me enough to know that I did not trust myself to gauge what the Holy Spirit was saying as far as us going. So my prayer was simply this: Lord, if it's not for me to go, you will have to cancel the trip. That is the way that I will know that we are not supposed to go. So we got that message later on saying that the trip may be canceled. So I was like, okay, Lord, this is the deal. If I'm not supposed to go, the trip will be canceled. But if you do not cancel the trip, then I know that I'm supposed to still be going. And so when they opted not to cancel the trip, I still had the normal, you know, understanding of the environment and circumstances. I wasn't blind to that. But my prayer all along had been, Lord, this is how you'll show me. So I really did have peace about us going.
And so we have a little video. It's under 3 minutes. It's not anything, but we want you to see some of what we saw, so it will make a little bit more sense to you if you'll start the video. Last picture, the journey that we're going to share, when we got to Egypt, right before our last hotel that we were staying in, we walk in and that picture is sitting right there, and we didn't know if we should laugh or cry, so Yes, was the trip memorable? I wanted to share with you, so we had some incredible, there were 117, including us ladies, from around the world. It wasn't just here in the United States. They were from around the world on this specific trip. And two of our leaders, the pastors, both female and male pastors, but we had bus leaders as well. And this came from one of them. And I want to kind of give you so you can better articulate some of the information. It was, the war was actually called Operation Epic Fury. And it started on February 28th. We had arrived a couple days before. The moment the war started, Israel closed the airport in Tel Aviv, leaving our team with very few options as we developed our plan to get the ladies out of the country. Flying out of Israel was no longer an option, and neighboring Jordan, though not involved in the conflict, had also closed its airport. For 36 hours, we consulted with our connections in Israel, our leaders back in the Eagle's Wings home office, and it was finally determined the only way out of Israel was going to be through Egypt. Once all of the ground logistics were coordinated and finalized, we informed the group of our plans and started booking flights. As a tribute to our leadership team and several ladies from the trip who stepped in to help, we booked all flights out of Cairo in less than 3 hours, a monumental achievement. As in generations past, Egypt was poised to become a place of refuge, a means of deliverance, and a catalyst for identity. Getting to Cairo was, in essence, a reverse exodus and proved to be a long haul. The group boarded three buses Monday morning, March 2nd, for a two-day journey to Cairo. One of the pictures that was in there was the buses. We had police escorts. We had armed people with us at all times. We proceeded south down the Jordan River Valley, adjacent to the Dead Sea, to the southern tip of Israel, and finally to the border crossing at Tabah, Egypt. It wasn't until we arrived there that we learned the missiles from Iran and Israel's Iron Dome interceptors had been flying overhead above us the entire time we were on the bus. God was indeed with us, moving us towards a place that would become our refuge. During that time, many of you know that we had to go dark for many hours, for about 48 hours. Day 2, March 3rd of our reverse exodus was equally adventurous when one look at the map of Egypt. There's a straight shot that goes straight across from the Sinai Peninsula to Tabah to the Suez Canal crossing, taking you straight to Cairo. It was clear from the onset that we were going to have to go a different direction. Our guide informed us the straight shot route is laden with heavy terrorist activity, and the safer route was the route that the children of Israel would have taken 4,000 years ago and around the southern tip of the Sinai. Flanked by armed police cars, our caravan proceeded. Okay, can we just talk about how many 117 ladies getting on and off of a bus? I mean, just... It wasn't... Go ahead.
It made our security very nervous. They
yes.
were very anxious.
Yes. It wasn't nearly the same as a cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night, but once again, God was with us, this time in Egypt as our refuge and our fortress. Our very presence helped. Though we did not see it, the Sinai was close as we reached the southern tip of the Sinai, and it was somewhat ironic that this was the place where God gave his chosen people their identity. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You shall be a special treasure to me above all people, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Refuge, deliverance, and identity. 11 hours after leaving Tabah, we arrived in Cairo, and by Thursday, March 5th, all of the awakened and empowered ladies, along with the staff, had flown safely out of Egypt. Every person who was a part of the journey was forever impacted by what had happened and the stories that we will tell our children and our children's children. We experienced deliverance, found refuge, a new peace of our unfolding identity in Christ was formed. God wrote us not only into his story, but also into the story of Egypt. A land continues to serve the purposes of God as a place of refuge, a means of deliverance, and a catalyst for identity.
Okay, so we, of course, arrived in Israel. You know, everything was great, long flight. We see parts of Tel Aviv and Jaffa the first day. We spend the night, then we're headed back on to, we saw Caesarea, where Paul wasn't, okay, yes, where Paul would have been kept for a couple of years before he went on to Rome. Then we ended up seeing Mount Carmel, which was very neat, where Elijah would have called down fire from heaven. The thing that was cool to me was this. I didn't really know what to expect in Israel. So everything there is, they don't often call some of the towns the same names anymore. And a lot of it is, you know, they have A, B, and C sites. We definitely know that this is where something happened. B, we're moderately sure. Or C, we really just have no idea. This is the geographic area of Israel where something would have happened. For me, it was cool being on Mount Carmel, not because just because of Elijah calling down fire from heaven, because they don't know exactly where that happened. It was looking out, and Amy had that in the videos. It was looking out and seeing the entire, what they call the Jezreel Valley, but what we refer to as the Megiddo Valley. And because that is not just where something has happened, that has been the site of so many battles in Israel over their history, it is a place where something will happen. That is a future event, and that valley, it's prophesied in Revelation 16:16 that is where the last battle will happen. And so that was so cool to me, that when that happens, if Jesus tarries, and you know, that I will have seen that place, you know, where that happened. That was so cool. So we're on the buses, and we really don't have a lot of access to Wi-Fi at that point. There is limited Wi-Fi on the bus, so we are getting there. We finally get to the Sea of Galilee, where we're going to be staying, and that is once I connected to the Wi-Fi at the hotel, where all of my alerts starting to come off, because I had registered with the U.S. State Department to receive alerts, and that's when the things started coming through, like, hey, if you're an American citizen and you want to get out of the country commercially, you need to go now. Well, here we are. We're in the Sea of Galilee. We're wondering what's going on. They're getting on our buses, and the hotel is very concerned with us knowing where the bomb shelters are. And this is the first that we have heard of bomb shelters. So we're kind of wondering what's going on. I was very blissfully unaware until this point. Both of us were, you know, and I'm like, hey, Amy, guess what's happening? So, you know, we get into the hotel. We're supposed to start Shabbat. They had planned for a rabbi and his family to come that evening and show us how they start off Shabbat. And that was very interesting. I'll let you tell a little bit about that.
So we're at dinner, and first I see him carrying a little weapon.
He has a Glock.
Yes, and I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe everybody's not here. We don't know. You know, like, no big deal. So they're singing, and they're going through the rituals that they do, and we're absolutely enjoying it. And I see under his chair, like, this M16-looking thing, and I'm like, Kelly. Like, look under the chair. And so
he's
both of us at this point, we're just now, little did we know that he has carried that for the last 3 years to protect his family. And that is normal there, which led us into a whole host of other things and watching God do the miraculous. You know, you hear of things, God did this for me, or you hear of God doing the miraculous. Let me tell you, we can see it with our eyes if you pay attention. Yes. If you look, God does the miraculous in your life every single day. And we began to see some of those things. I wish I could have put all of the extra videos of the bunkers on there, but some of them weren't appropriate, because by the time we get in there and I'm just sitting on the ground again, and everything is not appropriate to show on TV because I'm looking up. But one, I will tell you, it was happening so often that one of the times I had actually laid down in the bed, I had just taken my shoes off and actually fallen asleep. And Kelly's like, Amy, let's go, let's go. I was so disoriented. I'm like wiping my eyes, can't find my shoes, can't find my bag. I'm like tripping over everything. She's like, we got 10 seconds. Because we had, what, 30 seconds?
Yes.
To get to the bomb shelter.
Yes, let me just say, in the majority of our friendship, Amy is the early one. Like, she is usually waiting for me. So she's always 20 minutes early someplace, like she is on top of things. I excel in our friendship in getting to the bomb shelter in time. That is my gift that I bring to the table. So yes. So that's my strength. That's what I bring to the table. So Amy was very disoriented. So here's how it works, and we'll backtrack a little here. First of all, we didn't know until the next morning. It was Shabbat morning, and we were supposed to be getting on boats. They'd already let us know, like, hey, it looks like the trip is going to be changed to some degree. We acknowledge what's happening. We have A, B, and C to get you out of Israel safely. We're just going to play it by ear, but today we're going to go to the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to be on boats, and it's going to be wonderful, and we're just going to make the most of our time here. And one of our leaders who wrote this post that we are reading from said that most of the women were on the bus. We were about to head out to get to the boats not far away, and he just felt like he really needed it. It was 7:55. He said, I just really want to get all the women together and answer all their questions about where we're going right now. To which the tour leader, who's very organized, says, hey, we're not going to, we're going to miss the boats. You know, we're going to be late. So he said, no, I feel like we're supposed to. So we all sat together, and he's starting to tell us about what they think the plan is going to be. And then all of a sudden on everyone's phones comes, not ours, but most of the people of Israel, what sounds like an Amber Alert sound. And then all of a sudden our tour guides immediately kind of get us up, and they start shuffling us someplace. And they haven't told us what's going on, but it's very clear that it's something. And so it's 1 o'clock in the morning where our family is. And so I just text John, they're taking us somewhere. I don't know where we're going. I love you. And so they take us into the depths of the hotel. We have no idea what's going on. And we probably stay there for about, what, 20 minutes, don't you think? And no idea what's going on. And then when we are able to finally leave the rooms and come back out, that's when they announce that Israel has taken measures against Tehran, and we expect retaliatory bombing. So the way that everybody ended up loading the apps on their phone, Israel Home Defense, they give you one warning when something has been shot that way that they are anticipating. Then you're supposed to wait for a second warning. If the second warning goes off, that means that they have either something has been missed, or they don't know if something's going to fall, and you've got 30 seconds to get to a bomb shelter. So it happened a lot in the middle of the night.
It did. From then on, I slept in my shoes, just so you know. But during that time, once we went back to that room, we began, of course, you have people who, everyone handles situations like this differently. Everyone does. And thank you, Lord. Kelly and I were so grateful that we were both in our right mind. And we were both fully at peace. We knew that we were probably in great danger. We had no idea the depths of how much danger that we were in. But we also knew that God brought us there for a specific purpose and a specific time, and that we were good. We were good. And so from there, we began to intercede and pray. And I'll tell you, it changed who I am. Not because of being in a situation where you don't know if you'll see your family again. Not because of being in a situation you don't know what the next moments are going to hold or what it looks like, but because that constant communication with the Father, it changed who I am. And I think for both of us, the passion to pray for the land of Israel became that much greater. The people there who are the rabbi and his wife just began to pray for them. They don't call Jesus the Messiah. So we began to pray and intercede for the land, for the people. We began to see, and Kelly shared this a few weeks ago about the swallows and the bird, that we're in a shelter, you guys. We have no idea how this bird gets in. And all of a sudden we see it. We're praise, worship, interceding, just having this time with the Lord. And all of a sudden you see this bird flying. And then the next thing you know, there's three. We're like, how in the world are there three birds in here? And not to super spiritualize it, but it was almost like the Lord just dropped in my spirit that I am here. I haven't left you. It was like a representation of the Trinity, you know, almost like God was there with us. But the additional things that were happening, the more, so you had ladies who were handling the situation differently. What's the likelihood that there would be five trauma counselors, Christian counselors, who are on staff at churches with us on that group? Five, not one, five. So you have that, they were able to get these ladies who were struggling to these specific areas. One of the ladies that sang on that first little video, what's the likelihood that some one of them would be Egyptian? Who spoke Arabic?
Who was our only translator? We only had two people who spoke Arabic, because once we left Israel, we didn't have tour guides anymore who were very... They were wonderful to us, but American-friendly, I should say. And so God to have already supplied two women on the trip who were able to speak to our bus drivers and guides.
And the other one was the missionary that was leading that part of worship. She was from Jordan. She's a missionary. She had come on the trip, and after, she was not able to go back home. She was having to fly to Europe for her safety as well. A couple of the other things, Shlomo was one of our, so we had some tour guides. Shlomo used to work in the Israeli, he was retired from the Israeli government, but his son worked for the Israeli Secret Service. So not only did we have intel coming in from him, our leaders were very in tune, constantly receiving updates and personal contact from the U.S. Embassy. So we had additional people on there that were helping us. Shlomo was another one that has served with this group for over 30 years and does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So it seems like this, that God's continually showing us that we're like, okay, our prayers are being directed all these different directions. It wasn't not that we didn't, everybody at home was fine. As soon as we let them know we're good, just keep praying, that would be great. But we're good. Our prayers began to redirect for the others that were there. I'm jumping ahead just a minute, and Kelly will fill in some of the blanks. One of the next parts of that was once we got on and we needed to get into Egypt. Let me tell you, that was a journey in itself, because at certain points we would have to get off of the bus, and every 10 miles they had a check.
There were checkpoints everywhere. Like Amy said, they did not take us the more direct route. That's very scriptural, though that would have been faster. But took us the longer route, literally driving through desert for hours and hours, like mountainous desert region. And we couldn't see Mount Sinai because it was a little farther to the south, but just to be in that region. But there were probably checkpoints about every 10 miles. Like Amy said, the checkpoints and the security really started for us once we got into Egypt, because the Egyptian government, I think, was concerned for us. We were a very large delegation of Christian American women, and it probably would have been really fun to pick us off, you know, from an enemy's perspective. And so we had armed guards on the buses, we had an armed security van in between the buses, and then we would often have the Egyptian police kind of caravanning with us in between all
which
the stops.
Which is rare. Yeah. That they told us, like, this just doesn't happen. So the favor of the Lord through all of that as well, and the being able to avoid sleeper cells. So during that time, of course, Kelly and I still somewhat oblivious, somewhat to, we knew the risk of the dangers that were to come, but we didn't know have the extent of it. The reality, and then our flight, the only time that was a little bit different, you know, normally you would just drive on over across the border. We actually had to physically get out and walk across the Egyptian border. That was the only time I looked at Kelly and I was like, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your hands and things in front of you. Like, we're going to do this. We're doing it together. That was the only time in my spirit that I felt, okay, this is we're walking into a different territory here.
You felt the atmosphere change. Like, it was very almost kind of spooky in some respect as we walked from Israel and then over into Egypt. It's like the atmosphere, like, just changed so dramatically. It was very still and quiet, and we had to wait a very, very, very long time to get through customs. It was not easy. I think it was easier than it would have been because of the organization of the leadership, but it was very difficult and took a very long time and a lot of uncertainty getting across the border.
The biggest thing I think for us in those moments too were the realization that this is every day for them. We were there for a specific period. There, I remember we were in the bomb shelter one of the times, and the rabbi and his family were in there, and they had three children. Their oldest daughter was married, and they all just sat and cried. And it was devastating to watch because this is normal for them. They don't call out to a savior who there is that continual moment of peace. It was just a constant. We even saw one who was against a wall and she just slivered down against the wall. There were so many things that we began to see throughout that time, but the Lord was always faithful and with us. The bomb shelters there are in every home. The bomb shelters in the hotel we were staying on were on every floor. That's how you had 30 seconds to get to the bomb shelter. Here's the cool thing. Kelly and I, oblivious somewhat, because we knew we were safe unless that thing was going off. Like, then we go to the bomb shelter because that means get in cover no matter what. The Iron Dome is just an incredible thing that was created, man created. But we could stand outside and we could see the missiles coming in and we could see the Iron Dome blast them, and it was just the most miraculous thing. And then we're standing outside, and that was day and night. I was like, oh my goodness, Kelly, do you hear that? There are planes. Like, how are they flying planes over? So I'm concerned at this point. So we go out and we're asking someone, and they're like, oh no, the U.S. government just got here. We're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Air Force.
Yes. They were guarding the airspace, and we were like, thank you, Lord.
Like, proud to be an American. I'm going to say, yes, Greenwood,
yes,
right
here.
We're
like flying our little flags out there, you know, like, proud to be an American.
Lord, we know you got us, but thank you for sending the Air Force.
Like, yes. Yes. I think, too, the fear that they live in, the fear that they walk in every single day, the fear that not only are they going to be able to raise their families, but they won't have a home. The people of Israel, who God has blessed that land, some of them, I'm not saying all of them, one of our guides, her name was Bernice, and she was incredible, and she said she was a Christ follower, and she said, how can I watch all of this and teach people about all of this and not believe it's true? And so she was a Christ follower, but, and I've shared this with the ladies, and I sent Kelly a text yesterday because I was driving back from out of town, and there's fields of yellow just everywhere, and I'm videoing these fields of yellow. It's like simple reminders. In Israel, that yellow flower is a mustard seed flower. If you have faith, it's like a speck of sand. And so the fear that they live in was just overwhelming to see. One of the other things, and I'll let Kelly share this, Shabbat, they don't do anything. But if you go back in the Bible, it talks about in the Old Testament, and they follow it absolutely to a T. But we gained so much from that. We're sitting there at the table, and I'm like, Kelly, not the ritualistic part of it, but the things that they do that are scriptural that we should be applying in our lives today.
For me, it was this, and Shabbat seemed to be very highlighted because a little bit because of the anxiety that we felt, because we kind of felt it radiating from everywhere. And this is, of course, where we see the rabbi with the massive weapons and things like that. And we're wondering what is going on. But the beauty of Shabbat was this. In ministry, a lot of times you're challenged, and we all have these very busy lives, and there are things that we, you know, our kids have things that are on Saturdays. It's hard to set apart a day, and I think particularly when you're in ministry, for me, the challenge is that Sunday is not a rest day, you know, for me. It's a worship day, but it's not a day of worship and rest, and so trying to incorporate a time of rest that is not legalistic is very important, because the whole part is to honor the Lord. Christ is our rest. We rest in Him. So many things in the Old Testament, everything points to Jesus. And so that's what our rest is. It's not necessarily a particular day, but we live in that rest of Christ. But I do think it's important to take a day where they take it to the nth degree, and that there's an elevator, you know, that they don't, you know, that goes to every floor on Shabbat so they don't have to press the buttons. You don't press the buttons for coffee on Shabbat. You know, they have somebody who pours it for you. You know, there are all these things. But this was the other thing about Shabbat. They started out by blessing. And they'll bless, the husband blesses the wife, and then both parents bless the children, like before Shabbat even starts. Like they each come up, an individual child comes up to each parent, and they bless them. And the thing that I think is important for us, and the takeaway for me, is that we need to bless people with our voices. There are many times that when someone asks us for prayer, do you ever feel that? Like, okay, I'll pray for you. And sometimes the Lord will stop me and He'll be like, no, now. Like, I want you to pray for them right now with them. And I think that there is something so important about praying for someone, for us hearing someone pray for us. They need to hear our words. And I think our children and our husbands know that we love them, but we need to tell them. Like, we need to speak those words of blessing over the people in our lives. They need to hear it. It, you know, we hear a lot of other things. They need to hear us say those things over them. During Shabbat, their youngest son, it was his 11th birthday, and I watched him run up to his dad and jump into his arms and wrap his legs around him. And he was so purely unaware of, you know, most kids getting to be that age are embarrassed about showing affection to their parent. And just watching him run up and jump in his dad's arms and receive his blessing and then do the same thing to his mom. It reminded me, like Amy said, you know, they live in this uncertainty that I was feeling for a matter of hours in every single day. And they still have to have everyday life. Like, life has to go on. They haven't been able to sit in bomb shelters for over 45 days. You know, life still has to go on for them. They still worship. They still have to raise their families during this time. So that was a huge eye-opener for me.
Yeah, in closing, because we could tell you story and story and story after one after the other of what we saw God do, getting across the border, getting home. I had somebody ask me, not that long ago, they're like, I'm not on social media. Tell me about your trip to Israel. I wrote it down because I was like, I'll never remember that again. I was like, I was in Israel in the middle of a war, went on a river cruise down the Nile River and got a rubber duck from Munich. And they're like, what? I was like, well, here's the thing. But in Deuteronomy, it says, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. We never doubted that God was with us, ever. We knew we were in danger, but there was a peace, a depth of peace that we were kept during that time. There were three verses that continually just kept coming up. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Philippians 4:7, which you all know, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This one's my favorite. Isaiah 54:10, a promise that even if the mountains shake, God's covenant of peace, his covenant of peace will not be removed.
Pastor John, you want to come up? Oh, it was terrible. It was a terrible thing that I did to my mother. towards the end of the first day, I'm like trying to remember what shirt I was wearing, and that will tell me which day it was. But towards the end of the first day, I was outside calling mom on FaceTime because you're always trying to like call, you know, on the time difference. It was later there, but early enough to talk to her, and I knew she was home from work. And so I'm out there telling her like, here's what we're doing. And then all of a sudden I see like a rocket go up, and which is the Iron Dome defense system, which I thought was amazingly cool. And so I expressed it as this. I was like, mom, I was like, I just saw the Iron Dome. And I'm like trying to turn her around on FaceTime so that like she can see it too. Like, that's so amazing. You know, you hear about this, it was so cool. And then like shortly thereafter, the alert went off that was like, hey, something's been fired in your general direction. You might want to take cover in a few minutes. And then a few seconds after that, the, hey, get someplace now alert went off. And so I'm like, hey mom, I gotta go in the shelter now. So I will talk to you later. I love you and I'm coming home. And she's like, okay, I love you. You know, John's like, I can't believe you did that to your mom. Anyway.
Amy had said, we were oblivious. Yeah. Y'all, will you bless them for their sharing today? Thank y'all. When I heard all the stories begin to unfold from my wife and Amy during the week, in my words, it was like they were saying, we went to see Israel, but instead we saw Israel. And may I shepherd you just for a minute on this, with the conflict and all that you hear on both sides from biased media. When you say that Israel is God's people and that's God's land, you are not saying that the people are righteous. You're not saying that all of the people are good, that all of the leadership is godly. You're saying that he chose Abram and brought him out of the land of the Ur of Chaldees and gave him the entirety of Canaan. It's not an issue of merit. It's an issue of election. And God has put his name there. And forever, his name will be there. And in the millennial reign of Christ, of all the places he could come back, his foot is going to hit the Mount of Olives and it's going to split open. And he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. The curse will be removed. And the earthly people that remain that make it through the tribulation are going to fly into Israel and walk their earthly children into the presence of Jesus Christ and worship him. Israel, the land, and the people are the people of God. The church did not replace them. Now, one final quick thing for those that oppose that ideology and belief system, saying you're giving them a past. They have suffered historically more than any nation on the face of the earth for their rebellion and their hardness of heart. But there still is people. For you, as a pastor, I'm thinking, outside of just listening to this story, our life is filled with surprises. You think you're going here for one thing, and you get another. You think God's doing one thing, and He does another. And I've learned in my 63 years that I don't predict Him well often, but He is faithful always. And in every situation, the dangers that we're aware of. See, we get afraid by the dangers we're aware of. You've been kept through the dangers you weren't aware of. And as the eye of the Lord is on the land of Israel, listen, you're His sons and daughters. And He careth for us. I was tickled when they talked about the guns, and you see the guy talking to the people and got the M16 on his back and the Glock here. It's like the old Scottish preacher that was preaching an open air tabernacle. He said, God is with you. Be not afraid. God will defend you. And this old drunk or heckler goes, aye, if God is with you, preacher, why that gun in your back belt? He goes, ah, that's till God gets there. There are people today living in bunkers in their families, in their homes. Bombs going off, there's threats going off, and they're praying at each end of the house, the husband and the wife, and Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't expect this. Their bodies are betraying them. And all of these things, what's important is not just that you get the message on the phone, but that you trust your life, you trust yourself under the wings of the Almighty God. Because the Lord cares, stand with me, the Lord cares for you. He that keepeth Israel and keepeth you does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper and the shade upon your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve us from all evil and preserve our soul. The Lord will preserve our going out and coming in from this day forward and forevermore. But for the Christian, what if the bullet finds its mark? What if the bomb finds its location? What if there's not enough time to get to the bunker? We close our eyes in this world and we open them next to Jesus in the next one. You are secure in your travels. You are secure in your home. You're secure in your journeying through this world. We're clueless half the time, if not more. Isn't it wonderful that the one that keeps us does not slumber nor sleep, and He does so based on perfect knowledge? Of course He provides for us. Of course He protects us. Of course He preserves us until it's time to go home. And in the end, everything that Christ promised shall be fulfilled. Girls, Amy, my precious wife, thank you for sharing with us today. Lord, we honor you today for that person, oh Lord, that maybe didn't expect this kind of service, but you're meeting them there. Just in that phrase, with all that's going on around you, don't forget to settle the inside of you, where God is, where your security is and your strength is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God and He'll direct your paths. Lord, draw us close to you. Give us the courage and the character to live out the things that we say and the songs that we sing. Let our lives reflect and radiate the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us, as Amy taught us, to change the way we pray from inward to outward, praying for others, and that Israel, Lord, that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the Iranian people, Lord, in this impossible situation they are in, especially those that long for freedom from a tyrannical government. We honor you. We love you today. And God, just real quick, thank you for our military that serves and defends and protects and preserves. We bless them and their families today. Keep us, Lord, till we come again. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. God bless you.